So the women told all these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. Story is told of a church out in rural Mississippi that had a problem. And the problem had a name. His name was Eugene Ledbetter. Now, if you have never heard of any kind of name like Eugene Ledbetter, that's because you don't live in rural Mississippi. But this Eugene Ledbetter in this church that he went to had a problem because Eugene had a problem with the truth. He was barely acquainted with the truth. Everything that came out of his mouth seemed to be a falsehood, an exaggeration, a lie, a giant story. And it got so bad, you know, he'd go fishing and everybody knew he caught one or two little fish. He'd come home, you know, and, you know, he'd caught five or six giant fish. But it just went on and on and on. And everything that he said was just some tall tale, some falsehood, some lie. So the preacher and the deacons got together in the church and they said, we have to do something about Eugene. We've got to stop this. It's tearing things up. So they decided to go and visit Eugene at his house. And they're going to tell Eugene the biggest, most fantastic, most unbelievable story, just crazy story that had ever been, in order to show him how silly he was being, how ridiculous. So they go over to Eugene's house. He lets him in. He says, what can I do for you, fellas? And they said, Eugene, did you hear what happened at church last Sunday? Eugene said, no, no, I didn't. And they said, well, we were there having church, the preacher was saying, Eugene, we were having worship, and then all of a sudden, from the back of the church, busting down the doors, here come in the church a giant grizzly bear. Just came straight in the church, running right down the middle aisle, and making all kind of a ruckus. And right behind that grizzly bear was a little tiny white poodle dog, like those little kind that some ladies like to carry in their purse. One of those little dogs. And that little dog was chasing that grizzly bear right down the aisle of the church. And they started fighting and fussing and growling, and there was fur flying and hair flying, and women were screaming, men were fainting. It was just all over the place. And as that fight went on, by the time it ended, that little poodle dog had whooped the grizzly bear. Absolutely whooped the grizzly bear, had him down, and that little poodle dog killed the grizzly bear right there in church. And the preacher looked at Eugene and he said, Eugene, you believe that? And Eugene looked the preacher right back square in the eye, and he said, heck yeah, I believe it. That was my dog. Sometimes Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, can seem like that poodle dog, like the apostles when the women came to them, like an idle tale. They told all these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Sometimes it's hard to believe good news. We're surrounded by bad news. How many COVID waves have we been through? I lost count. There's a ground war in Europe for the first time in 80 years. Since World War II. Closer to home, crime's going up, inflation is going up. Every time we look around the corner, there's some new injustice. In our own personal lives, we struggle with sickness in our families, sickness in our own bodies. There are people that we love who have died or are dying, people that we know who are struggling with various issues. It's very easy to believe bad news. We hear it all the time. It's the good news that's hard to handle. We have become cynical people. We've grown a hard shell. Things are getting better. Ah, sure they are. Sure they are. It's a beautiful day outside. Well, just wait. It'll change. The world teaches us that sooner or later, things will go bad. And that's where Peter and the 11 and the rest of Jesus' followers were on that tired, bleary first day of the week, that Sunday. They were exhausted. They were wrecked. Of course, it had all ended badly. Of course it did. We should have known. Jesus, crucified, dead, gone. Why had we been so foolish to think that would be any different? Why did we get our hopes up? The Romans always win. The Jewish leaders were in control the entire time. Jesus sounded good, sure. He sounded different. He had us for a while. He seemed like the one. He healed sicknesses. He forgave sins. The Messiah, the Son of God. But he's dead. It's over. He's been crucified. We should have known. It always ends the same. So when the women came and said something ridiculous and foolish, like he's risen, that Jesus is alive, it sounded crazy to the apostles. They weren't born yesterday. It sounded like UFO talk or Bigfoot or some conspiracy theory. He is alive. Nah, get out of here. And the apostles dismissed it. And they dismissed it not simply because it was impossible or because it wasn't scientific or it disobeyed the laws of nature, something like that. The apostles dismissed it because they did not think that the world was really a place where happy endings were possible, that there was such a thing ultimately as a happy ending, where good things really and truly happen and endure. The disciples dismiss the tale because they had learned that the world is a hard place in the end, that people are usually mean, and that good people like Jesus, well, they get crucified. So when the women come and tell them, "He is risen," they are not simply bringing some sort of random piece of good news. They are telling the disciples and us that this old world, which you know, the world you live in, the mean world, the world of unending bad news, is saying there's a new world, a different world has come. A new age, a new way of living. And this new world comes and dawns with the resurrection of Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. One enters into this world when you hear and you believe those words of the women. He is risen. When you trust in this risen Jesus. When you are baptized into this risen Jesus, enter the new world, the kingdom of God. In this world, little poodles do whoop grizzly bears. Isaiah said that the wolf and the lamb lie down together. That doesn't happen in this world. This is in the new world that comes when Jesus rises from the dead. In this new age, says Isaiah, no one hurts or destroys on all of God's holy mountain. No more is there heard the sound of weeping or the cry of distress. in this world, the crucified criminal turns out to be the God of all creation. And the dead man, deader than dead, turns out to be the living champion over all things. It turns out, against all odds, that Jesus' death is not one more horrific accident, but is the self-giving of the one and only true God. The God who made all things, who is in control of all things, turns out to be a God of mercy, who loves his creation so much so as to suffer and to die to put that creation back together. When the women say, "He is risen," they are saying that there is such a thing as a good, kind, powerful, almighty God who goes to the very end of suffering and death to put things right. What the women are saying is that there is such a thing as hope. The women are saying, what if, apostles, you stuck up here in this upper room, what if it's true? What if it's true? What if that guy on the cross really did cancel out all sins, all your sins? What if, just if, what if he really is alive and death has been broken and death is dead, not Jesus? What if at the end of all things, at the very end, when all stories have played out, all things indeed are put back together the way they should? What if pain and warfare, God's anger and your sins and your nightmares and your disappointments and your fears, what if all of that has been dissolved in the blood of Jesus? And that at the end of all things, it's true. He is risen. Our cynicism and our sarcasm rolls its eyes at this. Oh, sure. Sure, Pastor, whatever you say. I know it sounds simple, sounds naive, like some kid's book, you know, where, you know, little things, bad things happen, and then at the end of the book, everyone is happy at the end. It sounds dumb. But what if all the kids' books are right? And what if all of the kids' books are more right than all of our experience and all of our disappointment and all our cynicism? What if God really did beat the devil with a 3-point shot with 1 second left, and he wins? He wins. What if there really was an angel in that empty cave saying, "He is not here, he is risen"? What if it's true? What if Frodo really does throw the ring into the Mount Doom, into Mount Doom itself? What if it happens? What if all the wounds we carry, the hurt and the shame, the guilt and the regret and the remorse, what if in the end it's all accounted for? It's all paid in full by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross and by his glorious resurrection. What if Jesus really did kill death? And what if when you die, what happens is you go to sleep and then you wake up. And when you wake up, You're with Jesus, the crucified one, still wearing his wounds, and all of the saints at the heavenly feast that never ends. What if that's true? What if the poodle really did whoop the bear? And all sins are gone. What if it's all true? Every single bit of it. What then? What then? What happens next? Well, I'll tell you what then. You say at the top of your lungs, "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." That's what then. That's what then. And you get to serve others. And you rejoice. And you seek to do what God has commanded you in your life, in your vocation, in freedom, and in happiness. What then? What then is you eat a lot of chocolate bunnies. That's what happens. And you get to take a long nap on Easter Sunday afternoon. That's what I'm going to do. That's the what then. There is freedom, and there is joy, and there is happiness in Christ. Because it's true. He is risen. He is not in the tomb. He is alive. And what happens next? You trust yourself, your body and soul and all things, to that Jesus Christ, who really is risen from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.